Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Kansas City Chiefs are an unfathomable 5-5 and on the outside looking in.
I don't think they're going to make it now. I know they're still right there on the outskirts of the playoffs. There's still 7 games left for them. I mean, they could roll off 6-1 and make it in as a wild card. I don't think they're going to win their division. So there is a chance, because all these teams still have to play each other. And this week, you know, they have the Colts coming to Kansas City. So it'll be interesting to see Patrick Mahomes, obviously, but Daniel Jones going on the road in Kansas City, see how he can play in a really, really tough environment, because this is going to be desperation time for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Time now for the Christian Arcan Show.
Yo,
it's Arcan on WEEI.
Good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios. We're powered by Verizon. We're Boston Sports Original. And tonight we're here with you for
60 minutes.
That's exactly right. We're here for 60 minutes. Thank you, Meredith Vieira. Joe Braverman behind the glass. We got 1 hour, and then it's Monday Night Football tonight. The Dallas Cowboys, the Las Vegas Raiders in Vegas. The house that Mark Davis built, that'll be pregame starting right around 7, kickoff at 8:15, so keep it right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, all night for all the play-by-play action. If you lost a little money this weekend, you can win it all back on Monday night. That's why Monday Night Football exists. A lot of people don't know that. But I'll say this, I've been obsessed with what Boomer Esiason said there all day long. Because even though I know, it's not like he said anything that was that crazy. The Chiefs probably won't win their division. They're behind two teams, one of whom looks kind of unstoppable, the other of whom looks just got their ass handed to them by the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they may end up in the number two spot at some point, depending on just how far the Chargers fall. But Denver Broncos right now have a stranglehold on the AFC West with a win over the Chiefs. Wasn't the prettiest win I've ever seen in my life. In fact, I saw a lot of ugly wins this weekend. We'll get to all of them, because all of them, I think, have a little bit something to do with the Patriots. Patriots, who at 9-2 are at the top of the NFL, right there with the Denver Broncos, other teams that are 8-2 in the NFC. You have the Eagles, you have the Rams, the Colts are 8-2, and the Buffalo Bills are 7-3 with a big-time performance from Josh Allen last night. That I think is going to reignite the MVP conversation, get him right back into it. The Baltimore Ravens just barely survived the Shedeur Sanders onslaught. And by that I mean was just watched him throw balls away. I'm not feeling it was not a great debut for my guy Shedeur. I texted all my friends. I texted Ted, texted all my friends from Colorado. I was like, guys, Shedeur's going in. A lot of them were like, yeah, we know we're watching Red Zone two-way hole. I was like, fine, whatever. But yeah, there he is. There he goes. Dylan Gabriel out with a head injury. Here comes Shedeur. I'll say this. He didn't look any worse than Gabriel. Gabriel pretty much, you know, I didn't see much there. It is the Cleveland Browns after all. When's the last time a rookie quarterback looked like anything on that team? But yeah, it was not great. Not a great debut. He needs a full week. You know, he needs the full week. That's what everyone says, of course. Give Shedeur that full week and be a whole different story. You watch. Lamar Jackson on the other side. kind of scary. The Pittsburgh Steelers doing away with the Cincinnati Bengals. That game affects the Patriots because in that game, Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Ramsey getting into it as the Steelers took it to Cincinnati. That was not, you think a division game, certainly against teams with, you know, offensive challenges like both of those teams have. I don't think anybody was expecting Mason Rudolph and, you know, Kenneth Gainwell and those guys to put up 34 points. And for the Bengals, they're hoping to get Hendrickson back soon. He's got that pelvis injury. They're waiting on Burrow. And now they're going to be without Ja'Marr Chase as well. Ja'Marr Chase, not ejected, but post-game, it was determined that he spat on Jalen Ramsey. These were his comments after the game, and he was pretty strident in his denial.
Oh, you got to give him that huck, too, and spit on that thing.
That is not what he said. He did, though, spit on Jalen Ramsey. Said, I never opened my mouth to that guy. It's a weird way of saying it. Ramsey was funny. Ramsey's like, I love talking trash. I love it. But once he spat on me, I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah, I'm going to punch him. And Ramsey got ejected for punching him. And then they went back and looked at it and saw that he very clearly spat on him. Which, man, Jalen Ramsey's a world-class trash talker. And they were kicking the Bengals' ass. I don't know. I mean, whatever he said, if you get someone so mad that they spit on you, you've kind of won, you know, because it's gross to get spit on. No one wants to get spit on. But it's not like he stabbed them or something. You know what I mean? Like, of all the outcomes, it's a gross one. It's not that bad.
And we going to win that bitch.
No Ja'Marr Chase. Not that I thought the Bengals had a chance against the Patriots anyway. And I think the main lesson that I've taken away from this weekend is that the Patriots are where they're supposed to be. They're right there where they're supposed to be. And the Chiefs, according to Boomer Esiason, aren't even going to be there in the playoffs. That is such big news to me. And it's not news, it's one guy's opinion, but I consider that, it's Boomer, like I consider that news. Boomer Esiason is just, every single day of the week, this guy's on TV or on the radio or somewhere, and it's just like football. I mean, when I think of football and discussions like that, I think of him. Boomer and Valente, I'm driving to work on Sundays for Football Sunday. That show's on. That show's on Friday night. It's just Boomer everywhere you go. And that echoed throughout my mind all day long. The Chiefs won't even be there. You know why? Because as good as the Denver Broncos defense is, I would rather play the Broncos in Denver than the Chiefs in Foxborough.
Would suck.
In the postseason. I would rather do that. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't think that's even the controversial take. I don't want any part of the Chiefs in the playoffs. If you do anything about it, but you look at their schedule, and their schedule coming up is not exactly, I mean, it's not murderer's row. There's some tough games on it for sure. They got the Colts this weekend. That's a tough one right there. After that, at Dallas, home against Houston. Houston, who had some trouble with the Titans, ended up beating them, but that was for a defense that good, Cam Ward marched right down the field and scored a touchdown at the end of that game to send it to overtime. And that was, by the way, the first pick I think that Ted got wrong all year, right? He's 9-2. That was it. Yeah, so it's the second one he's gotten wrong all season. And right when I started tailing him, too. How about that? Right when I started. It's like, yep, Ted, whatever you pick, I'm picking it, too. And then, of course, it all blows up. That's just the luck I've been having this year. And the Houston Texans not able to cover that spread against the Titans. They will have the Chiefs at Arrowhead on December 7th. Got the Chargers after that. The Titans, speak of the devil. One more with the Broncos, and then the Raiders to close out the year. That is, I would say, three tough games out of seven remaining. So they go 4-3. That's 9-8. Let's throw in another win there, you know. Let's throw in, it's the Chiefs. So I'd imagine down the stretch they'll probably lock in a little bit. Although, listen, I mean, they've lost two straight. They lost two straight. They opened the season losing two to the Chargers and the Eagles. So, like, there's a real possibility here that 9-8's not going to do it. 9-8's not going to get them in. And if they're not in, then it's really open to anybody, but it's really open to the Patriots. Really, very much so. Because the Bills, they've squared off before. The Ravens, like a lot of these teams, they have kind of a familiarity playing the Chiefs and, you know, what it means to go up against them. The Chiefs kind of have the psychological advantage of we've beaten you every single time, except for Joe Burrow that one year, or, you know, the Eagles and Tom Brady, too, I guess, for that matter. But you know what I mean? It doesn't happen very often. And if they're out of the picture, I don't think that that opens the door to the Bills and the Ravens and those teams. I don't. I think it opens the door for the teams that have been big positive surprises this year. I think it opens the door for the Colts. It opens the door for the Broncos. And it opens the door for the Patriots. Because those teams are playing better football than the Bills. They just are. The Bills have been fine. But I think we all agree that there's been something missing with that team. Now, that was a great game against Tampa Bay. And Josh Allen looked like Superman, except for those two awful interceptions that he's thrown. And he's been throwing some picks lately. He's been throwing some picks. He's been fumbling. He, I think, just through, you know, pure force of will and also 6 touchdowns in one game, is going to reemerge back in the MVP conversation. I think, you know, with Drake May, you're going to see that probably the seesaw back and forth a little bit down the stretch here. It's anyone's guess how it's all going to end, but Josh Allen's not going anywhere. The Buffalo Bills aren't going anywhere. They're still going to be around. They're still going to be a team to reckon with and a force to reckon with. And that's also one of the few remaining games on the Patriots' schedule that anyone's looking at and feeling any type of way about. That Baltimore, who didn't look great against Cleveland, but is still very much a team with a MVP caliber quarterback and a running back who can just, you know, flatten people. And with the Patriots not having their main guy in there, and that's something I want to get into as well, Milton Williams and that injury, that is really, really unfortunate because that's a big part of this team's identity. That's a big part of what makes the Patriots, is that run defense. It has been excellent this year. It's been the best in the league this year. And I don't think that's any coincidence that you bring in Milton Williams, Robert Spillane too. I don't want to act like he's not a big part of it. Obviously, he is. He's been a rock in the middle of that defense for sure. But up on that line, Williams, Barmore, etc., they are doing that job. They are getting it done. And teams cannot run the ball against them. It doesn't happen.
What's going on, boss?
I think that's a big-time loss. Big-time loss for it to be a month. They said it might be a couple of weeks, high ankle sprain. You think high ankle sprain, there's varying degrees. Sometimes guys are back the next weekend. Sometimes they give them a little extra time. Mike Vrabel comes out after the game, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's probably fine. IR, not fine. Because, listen, if it was just a couple of weeks, they don't play Buffalo for, what, a month? They don't play him until December 14th. That's basically a month away. So if they really thought that, they could have stashed him for a couple of weeks. No. They're going the full IR stint. That's 4 games. 4 games. Not because there's a bye week in there, too. 4 games, not 4 weeks. Or 3 weeks or whatever it would have been. Like, that sucks. That is an unfortunate thing that happened here. I don't know that people are really panicking that much because everyone's just still so hot and hyped for Drake May and the offense and what's going on with that offense. And defensively, you know, you think, yeah, Williams has been a big-time difference maker, but they can hold the line, right? I don't know if they can. I'm not sure. We'll have to see guys like Barmore and some of these other big guys in the middle step up and take on what has been, I think, a yeoman's job that has been done by Milton Williams here. And by that, I mean, you know, Tonga, the Tonga truck, maybe no longer. Really bum me out. I'm really enjoying that era here of Patriots football. Corey Durden's another one. Eric Gregory. Anthony Jennings is on the outside. But, you know, you got to move people around. You got to try and make up for this. You got to try and plug this hole now with Milton Williams out. And it's a bummer. It's a bummer to see a guy like him go down. A guy who I think represents one of the great free agent signings and free agent off seasons that the Patriots have had in a very long time, with the exception of maybe what, Carlton Davis. Every single one of those guys has just leaps and bounds been awesome. Much, much better than anyone could have expected. Steph Diggs, A+ right there. even, you know, Chasen, who no one really thought much of. Harold Landry, who got off to that great start. I'd like to see a little bit more from him as the season goes on here. But you can't deny what a force he was early on. Bradberry, Moses, all these guys. I mean, it was really just an all-timer for this organization when it came to spending in free agency. We all looked at 2021 and thought, oh, wow, you know, they brought in Matthew Judon and Hunter Henry and guys like that. Yeah, there were some misses there too, but some big hits. This is almost all hits. Almost all hits. All of these guys are hitting. And it's been really great to see. Get well soon, Milton Williams, though, because this team's going to be serious in the playoffs. One thing that makes them a serious team is their run defense. If that's not there, then that's a big part of their identity that they're going to have to find somewhere else. And with that, we'll get to your phone calls here, 617-779-7937. I want to get to the Bruins as well and some Red Sox news before we hand things over to Monday Night Football. First, here's Joe Braverman. He'll get you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. Following fight night in Montreal last Saturday, the Bruins are back home to face the Carolina Hurricanes. Jeremy Swayman gets the start in net for the Bees. Charlie McAvoy was ruled out. Coach Marco Sturm called him day-to-day after taking a puck to the face against the Canadiens on Saturday. Matei Blumel and Riley Tuft will make their season debut after being recalled for injured reserve players Victor Arvidsson and Casey Mittelstadt. Puck drop from TD Garden is set for 7 o'clock. Earlier today, the Bruins also placed Johnny Beecher on waivers for Providence assignment purposes. The Patriots were back at practice today following their weekend off thanks to a Thursday night victory over the Jets. They now set their sights on the Bengals for Week 12 this Sunday in Cincinnati. In roster news, the team elevated tight end CJ Dupree to the 53-man roster from the practice squad. Safety John Saunders Jr. was released. Also, linebacker Darius Harris was placed on practice squad injured reserve. Otis Reese Jr., a fellow linebacker, was signed in his place. Speaking of the Bengals, star receiver Ja'Marr Chase has been suspended by the NFL for one game after spitting on Steelers' Jalen Ramsey. Chase is planning to appeal, but if upheld, Chase will miss this Sunday's contest against the Pats. Some other injury news in the NFL. Falcons quarterback Michael Penix Jr. is expected to miss the rest of the season due to a knee injury. And the Jets have officially benched quarterback Justin Fields for veteran Tyrod Taylor. Week 11 wraps up in the NFL with the Cowboys taking on the Raiders from Las Vegas. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM beginning at 7 o'clock. Kickoff for the game is at 8:15. And in college football news, Virginia Tech is finalizing a deal to make former Penn State head coach James Franklin their new head coach. Holiday shopping season is upon us, and Find Mass Money helps with you find extra cash you didn't know you had. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It's a secure website and takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Cam Newton said the Patriots are fool's gold. That was his words, not mine. Do you hear those things? Do you react those things? Any comment on that?
Oh, no. I don't even know what show he's on. You know, I think they get paid to make remarks and, make certain comments. So, just worried about what people in our organization think and worried about what we think and my teammates think. And, everybody's going to have different opinions, so. We should go out there on Sunday and worry about ourselves.
Straight Maine. Fellas with WEEI Afternoons, Andy and Fitzy. Fool's gold, huh? Well, Mike Vrabel had something to say about that, too. Drake May said, I don't even know what show Cam Newton's on. And Andy's right. That could absolutely become something. That could absolutely become something. And you know Cam Newton would probably welcome it. So in a way, you know what I mean? Like with Cam Newton, I don't know how he's doing on that show. I don't know how he's like testing, right? That's what they do.
It has fool's gold written all over it.
Cubic zirconium. I can't imagine that people are like, yeah, Cam, nah, he's awesome. Like, you know what I mean? I just don't. Even if they liked him as a player, like, how can you listen to that? Like, how can anyone listen to that? And as someone who is paid to say things, as Drake May was pointing out there, yeah, I mean, that's the right way to answer that question. And throw a little dig at Cam Newton, too, because, frankly, Cam Newton's been a bit of an a-hole when it's time to talk about Drake May. Cam Newton's always got some little dig or some weird proclamation to make about, how dare you say that he's the best player and the best deep ball thrower, and I'm going to make this big dramatic statement about it. Like, you know what I mean? He's always doing that, which, again, I know I should probably look in the mirror a little bit here, but we're talking about Cam Newton, what he had to say. And what he had to say, I thought, got good reactions.
You're a liar.
Both from Drake May and from Mike Vrabel. Can we play what Vrabel had to say? This is Vrabel on the Greg Hill Show this morning in response to Cam Newton and the comments that he had and that we played last week.
You still hear somebody like Cam Newton on Friday say that it's fools. This team is fool's gold. Is that weird to you?
No, nothing's weird to me because people could come on a radio or you know what I mean? It's just like they could, whatever. It's just things that get their attention, or we are okay with that. I promise you, we were okay with anything that anybody
says.
Hold
on a second. Did you hear Courtney in the background shouting out our segment? I think that's what she meant. Clickbait, the segment at the end of the Christian Arcand show, I'm sure is what she meant by that, with that interjection that she made. But yeah, Mike Vrabel, we're okay with that. We're okay with what anyone says. Say whatever you want. Hey, talk about us. Keep talking about us. It's great. It's great for us. And it is. It's good. It's good conversation. It's good to have that kind of dialogue. Is this team really the best team in the league? And everyone just says, yeah. And one guy says, no, they're not. And it's like, okay, well, you know, now there's a conversation about it. People are talking about you. Most of them are on your side. But then, you know, there's Cam Newton sort of with his little hat over there saying what he's saying it the way he's saying it. Deep down, it's a good thing. Thank you, Courtney. Thank you for the shout-out, Courtney. Appreciate that. Let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. Nathan is in Kansas City, and he disagrees with me about the Broncos and the Chiefs. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, how are you doing?
What's
I was
up?
Just calling. I live in Kansas City. I hate the Chiefs just as much as anyone else. But just seeing how the Chiefs play on the road, I think I would rather see the Chiefs in New England. And I'll leave it there. And I'll let you fill in on it.
Okay, thank you, Nathan. And there's a lot of people on the text line as well. Arcand, the Chiefs aren't as fast as the Patriots. Kelsey's slower. He's about to be retiring. Gonzo can take out their number one. Playing in Denver is not as easy as you think. It's a tough place to play. The elevation with the mountains, ask Tom Brady. Why would we be afraid of Kansas City, the wild card team? I don't get it. They're not the same team. I don't care what Mahomes does, et cetera. So you'd rather go to Denver, take a shot at beating a current dynasty. That's weak and soft. Well, okay, fine. I was just talking about the best path to the Super Bowl, not about what's the manlier thing to do here, Texter. Relax. What else? Blah, 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 blah. There was one other one. I can't find it. Anyway, that's largely what I'm getting there. And again, I don't think that playing in Denver, no one knows better than me the horrors of the Patriots playing in Denver. I went to college in Colorado from 2000 to 2004, and then I worked out there until about 2009. So I was out there. I lived out there for 8-9 years, and it was during the Patriots dynasty years. And when I tell you, I lost money I didn't even have because everybody, all these Bronco fans are the biggest yahoos in the world. They really are. They're the biggest honks you've ever seen in your life. God love them, but like the sports radio out there, no one ever criticizes them. Like no one ever criticizes the Broncos. They'll criticize the Nuggets or, you know, complain about the Rockies or even the Avalanche. But like the Broncos, like it's off limits.
Broncos country, let's ride.
At least it was back then. I don't know. Maybe the tide's turned. I haven't listened to a lot of Denver sports radio lately. Sue me. But that's the way it was. I mean, just like honk city out there with those people. God bless them. But, you know, like that, that to me was very much the case. The Denver Broncos, even with the Patriots winning Super Bowls, all their fans, everybody, I had $20 on the bet, and I took every single bet. And I lost like $1,000. Like, it was ridiculous. I didn't have like a bookie or anything. These were just person-to-person bets. And here I am, Tom Brady. And what happened? Mike Shanahan and Jake Plummer would beat them. Josh McDaniels and Jay Cutler, Peyton Manning in 2015. Like, oh my God, it's torture. The one team that the Patriots really had trouble with for that entire dynasty years, other than like the Giants, of course, in the Super Bowls. But like in the AFC, it was the Broncos, man. The Broncos would just come out of nowhere. And no matter what Brady and Belichick had cooked up, Shanahan was ready for it. And so was Champ Bailey and, you know, all those guys, Al Wilson and those guys on the defense. Like, they were always there, and they were always ready for him. I always lost every single time. I don't know how. I don't think I won a single one of those bets. So, yes, I understand. Playing in Denver, playing against the Broncos is not a fun time. Certainly not when you're out there in Denver and you're not used to the altitude. I know that too. On the other hand, I'll take that over going up against Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game. I'm sorry. I just will. Bo Nix and that defense, listen, they can win games. They've shown that they can go out there and win games. They don't panic. He doesn't panic under pressure. He doesn't always have the greatest offensive output, but down the stretch, he makes plays. That defense makes plays. They're good on special teams. It's a lot like, I hate to say this, but it's a lot like the Tebow years, kind of, where the defense and the special teams are just dominant, and then here comes the quarterback, and everyone kind of likes him, but he's not really that good. Nix is way better than Tebow, but you know what I mean? It was that same kind of dynamic. And then you just, there you go. You flip on the highlight show the next day, and there goes Tebow and the Broncos winning another game. There's Nix and the Broncos, 9-2. You know, it's weird. They don't have a great offense. They don't have great offensive weapons. The Patriots, I'll take the Patriots offense over the Broncos.
I'm a Tebow guy.
You know, but that's where we're at. I don't think that it's easy to play in Denver. I'm not trying to say that. I think the Patriots probably match up better against the Broncos than I think they would against the Chiefs. And I think when you get to the playoffs and you're a team like the Patriots or the Colts or the Broncos, you don't want any part of the Chiefs either. If you know, like, those teams don't want the Chiefs. Even the teams who just beat them. Broncos and the Buffalo Bills, you think either one of those teams want to see Patrick Mahomes in the postseason? Of course they don't. And neither should you. The Broncos, I can handle the Broncos. You know, like, I think that's manageable. That's a team that's manageable. They've won a lot of games this year, and they look good. No question about it. They look like the real deal. But I'd absolutely rather go to Mile High than have Patrick Mahomes in your house in a playoff game. It's not even close. Not even debatable. I feel like it's disrespectful to Patrick Mahomes to say otherwise. And that is assuming and taking into account, taking to heart what Boomer said. These Chiefs are not the Chiefs of yesteryear. They don't look like that. Even on defense, they don't look like that. Mahomes in the offense, when they're clicking, but they haven't clicked in a couple weeks. I still don't want to see him. I don't want to see him. Give me the Broncos. Absolutely give me the Broncos. You know what else you can do? And this is a fun exercise. The teams down at the bottom right now are the Jaguars and the Chargers. What a dream that would be. What a dream that would be if somehow one of those two teams managed to squeak through and you're up there at the top, you know, just waiting on your bye week, and then here come the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wouldn't that be something?
Duval!
You're in the AFC Championship game, my friend. You are in the AFC Championship game, if that were to happen. Chargers, too. The Chargers just got their ass kicked by those Duval Jaguars. What happened there? What happened to Justin Herbert, man? All these guys that you compared Drake May to, it's too early to compare him to Justin Herbert. You can't compare him to Josh Allen. Those guys have had some rough games this year, rougher than anything Drake May's had. You know, like, that's a fact. Drake May has not put up a stinker like Herbert just did. Josh Allen's had a couple of real forgettable games this year. May's had a couple where he wasn't superhuman, but in terms of, like, oh, he was so bad he cost them the game. Has that happened this year? I don't think so. Maybe last year you could point to a couple of those games with the turnovers and, you know, some of the fumbles. But this year, it's different. It's a different conversation that we're having. And I'm enjoying it so far. 617-779-7937. Let's go to my guy Tim in Hanover. Hey, Tim.
Christian, good night. I mean, how you doing, bud?
Good night to you too, sir. Hey, good evening.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Hey, I just want to say I'm right with you, man, with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want the Chiefs at all, because when they get to the playoffs, they turn into a different team. They bought for years, for the last 3-4 years, they've been talking, oh, their defense is horrible, right? Well, they won some Super Bowls with that lousy defense, I guess, right? So the thing is, they're going to get a shot. The Chiefs probably don't even care if they get the first place bye, because they can't get first place in the division, but they can play the first place team, which would be us. So we got to be careful. Hopefully, don't wish what you don't want.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for the call. Good stuff. Good call. I never thought the Chiefs had like a terrible defense. I don't remember anyone saying that about it. Now with Chris Jones there, and, you know, some of those guys in the secondary. I don't, since McDuffie got there in the secondary, they've been a very good defense, and they're still, I think, a pretty good defense now. Like, I don't think that they're a team that you just overlook. I think they've had a first place schedule. They're a team that's in the Super Bowl every year. They get everybody's, you know, they're all the first place teams. That's what their schedule's populated by. Their division's good this year, and they're not dominating. You know, I mean, that's pretty much it. They're not out there dominating. They've had some injuries, not big ones, but they're also the type of team that has had dips like this in other seasons and survived them and made it to the playoffs and just cut right through everybody in the playoffs before. But I don't remember Boomer Esiason ever saying at week 11, this team's not making the playoffs. I don't remember him saying that. And again, I take that seriously. I know some texters are ripping on me for that too. Oh, well, you just believe everything Boomer says? Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I do. Yes, Joe.
Someone on the Twitch chat just said the only reason we don't want the Chiefs is because we don't want to face the refs.
The refs, yeah. Taylor Swift up there. I don't know. I didn't feel like the refs really had much in the outcome of that one last night. Although that was funny when they called a penalty on, the coach on Peyton.
Sean Payton.
For getting steamrolled by the ref. That was pretty funny. He's just standing there minding his own business. Here comes the ref out of nowhere, like Terry Tate, the office linebacker, just flattens him. Oh, that was hilarious. And then they're both like down on the ground, and the ref's like, yeah, penalty on you. Payton's like, what the hell, man?
It was like a staring contest. Who's going to blink first? And instead of blinking, he just whips out the flag.
That was pretty funny. That was a pretty funny moment. But that didn't really have much to do. I thought that penalty got declined. So, like, I didn't feel like the Chiefs were getting a ton of calls. I didn't feel like they were getting all sorts of big calls in that game. I don't know. I don't really feel like that's been a thing this year. If it was, they'd probably be better than 5-5. Last year, they won a bunch of one-score games, and everybody made a big stink about it. Remember? Like, that was the whole thing. Oh, they're winning all these games. The refs are getting involved. That's why that keeps happening. Yeah, maybe there was a few of those, but they're also the Chiefs. They're still very good. And, you know, sometimes that doesn't go your way. I don't necessarily want to dive into the idea that there's this big conspiracy to try and push the Chiefs or push any other team and that the refs are all doing that. But, my God, if you watched as much football as I did this weekend, you can't deny that these refs do really insert themselves into the proceedings, don't they? I mean, they, and not just, you know, bad calls, but, like, game-deciding calls. Games coming down to one play, one call, one pass interference, whatever. And the one, you know what's funny is the one last night everyone's all upset about, that one with A.J. Brown on the sideline there. I actually thought that was defensive pass interference. I thought it in real time, and I thought it when they showed the replay, and I'm listening to them go, oh, that's the worst call ever. Oh, my God, throw him in jail. I'm like, he was holding his arm back a little bit, you know? Like, that wasn't that bad. I didn't think that was such a wild call. And I also didn't think that it mattered either. I didn't think the Lions were doing anything against that Eagles defense. So whatever if they was a pass interference. And, you know, like that's one of the ones that got everybody all worked up. I thought there was at least half a dozen worse than that.
I hate you, ref!
Over the course of the weekend. So I don't know. I mean, to each his own. Everybody is different, I guess. But, yeah, for that one, I remember watching it. I'm like, what's everyone all mad about? Like, he did. He looked like he kind of got his other arm. Not the one he reached out with, but the other arm. It looked like he got him a little bit. And I was like, yeah, that's a call you can make. I didn't think that was that bad. I've definitely seen worse. I saw worse earlier in the day. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Got some thoughts on the Bruins and the Red Sox here before we hand things off to Monday Night Football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
On hockey night in Canada. And right off the draw, gloves come off. Jaden Struble and Nikita Zadorov. Well, you know they didn't line up against each other, so this started in the warm-up. Struble had straddled the red line as they continue to throw blows. And that's it. A little pat on the back. They'll go to the penalty box. Struble straddled the red line, and he was chatting at Zadorov, who was standing by the gate of the Bruins bench.
I mean, why not? Saturday night in Bell Center, big rivalry. Used to be big rivalry, so maybe it's new again. But just trying to get the boys going and everything.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Boston Bruins. Number one team. How about that? And that guy right there is a big part of it. The Bruins taking on the Carolina Hurricanes, who are 12-5-1. And one of the better teams over in the Metropolitan Division. They have one more point than the Bruins do, but no one has more points than them in the Atlantic. Bruins up there all alone at the top. 1 point up on the Wings, two up on Montreal, two up on Ottawa, a 4-point lead on Tampa, five over the Panthers, and the Maple Leafs and the Sabres down at the bottom, Toronto with 18, Buffalo 16. So I wouldn't say anything's been decided yet by any means, but it's nice to see. It's nice to see this Bruins team playing with confidence, going up to the Bell Center and just wrecking-ish right away, like right off the rip. That was great. Oh, was that great. And that explanation was great. Yeah, we're at the Bell Center. Let's fight. Like, okay, let's fight. It's a good fight.
I mean, why not? Saturday night in Bell Center.
Centre Bell, yeah, why not? Why not? Honestly. Why do they have to fight? Why don't, why not? Is really the question we should be asking. Mason Lorai, who, let's hear from Mason Lorai after the game, because he has now become a force since his little timeout that he was given. He has become a force now for this team.
You had a good effort in Ottawa, didn't get the 2 points, but to come back here and now win 8 of 9 games, how good does that feel and lead you into this West Coast road trip coming up?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, keep moving forward here and getting better. I feel like we're only getting better every day. And yeah, it's just great momentum. We're going to build off it and go back home and get one there, and then head out west for a good trip.
He's been back for 4 games. He is at a point a game, a couple of assists. He had a goal against Montreal. He's been terrific, and he was a big part of the problem early on. So much so that Sturm benched him. And I thought that could have been him or any other number of people, but he went after the young guy, which gave me some flashbacks to Claude and Cassidy and some of the other coaches in years past who would be real extra hard on the younger players. I thought, oh no, are we getting this again? Are we going to have a whole big problem in the locker room now? Is no one likes the coach because the coach is mean to the young guy? Like, are we going to get Jake DeBrusk 2.0? Is it going to be this again? But Lorai pops back out, and he's been great. And he's not making those same kind of mistakes. He's been terrific. Same with Peak. Peak, I thought, was a huge part of the problem and making the goalies look bad with these awful turnovers. And with Charlie McAvoy taking that slapper off the face, which, holy moly. Speaking of someone who has dealt with substantial trauma to my face this year, we're almost coming up on the 1-year anniversary of that, by the way. Mine was more in the nose area, as opposed to McAvoy, who took away. Look, I was right off the cheek there. Teeth flying out, blood everywhere. Ugh. That sucks, man. That sucks. That's like getting shot. Like, honestly, getting hit with a slap shot coming at you that fast in the fit's got to feel like getting shot. I've never been shot. I got shot with a BB gun once. But it probably was worse than that, I would think.
Was that by your kid, too?
No, that was not. It was by my cousin when we were kids. I got him back, though. it was a different time running around shooting each other. You know, it was just a different time. This is my same cousins that we did the thing with the shock collar. Did I tell you about this? My dog used to run away, so we got one of those electric fences. And we decided to see who could withstand the current the longest. So we tied the thing around our neck, and, you know, we'd go over there. You know, it was tough. And my one cousin stood there like, you know, like Happy Gilmore when he's at the batting cage and he's taking the bait. He's like, and then he like passed out. He's on the ground like shaking. We're like, oh, God, all right, pull him away. He was fine. But, yeah. It was that kind of stuff. I think for the Bruins, it's a nice one here tonight. You know, not that they need the validation, but it is a competitive division. It's a lot of good teams. Some teams lurking that you know probably have a second act, like your Lightning and your Florida Panthers. But if the Bruins can keep this up, and if Jeremy Swayman can continue to see the puck like he's seeing it lately, then I think that there is a real chance that this team can maybe not stay atop the division all year, but certainly stay in the playoff picture. I think that is absolutely on the table. Now, there were some moves that got made that may fly in the face of that, because one other big part of what has made this team so good lately is their second line. And the Bruins had to put some guys on IR today, and that's unfortunate. Arvidsson and McAvoy both going on IR. Lindholm was out, but he's coming back. Mittelstadt has been out. And, you know, we'll see what ends up happening. Riley Tuft and Blumel, I think, were both called up, right? Is that right? So we'll see. It's a couple of forwards. They've been good in the AHL this year. Both of those guys have. And that'd be nice to see, you know, a couple of the AHL call-ups who pop in and slot in on that second line or wherever it is that they put them and continue to be productive. Like, that's been a real strength for this team so far this year, along with Pastrnak and Geeky and everybody else, you know, doing what they're supposed to do. But you've definitely been getting that kind of secondary scoring. And with that, my time is up here tonight. We have a full show tomorrow, a full show on Wednesday, Thursday Night Football, of course, and then 3 hours on Friday. So we'll get to a lot of the leftover NFL stuff, Bruin stuff. I didn't even get to the Red Sox here. So I'll have a lot of that for you tomorrow as well. Stick around. The Raiders and the Cowboys Monday Night Football coming your way pregame, then kickoff at 8:15 right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Good night now.
Clickbait.
That's it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.